It's the fifth day of June already. My calendar hasn't been turned over, but I know that's what it is. Fifth day of June, 2016, year by our Lord at Zion Baptist Church, and we are in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So says the Scriptures. In Galatians 5:22. That verse starts off with a conjunction, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is the title of the sermon today. And we will read from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Our God, we thank you for the reading of the Word today. Pray your blessings upon it. Lord, that we may grow thereby. Lord, that we may grow in grace, that we may grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may grow in our love for Thee, our God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Help us today, O Lord, we pray. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The but there in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit automatically shows you that there is a contrast there between it and the works of the flesh. That word but. And you also see that word but there in verse 18, after he tells them that if they bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But, that conjunction there again, but, a contrast again. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Bible says that God is love. That's one of His attributes. God is love. Now the Bible says that He is the God of peace. But it says God is love. And the Bible says here that the fruit of the Spirit, the very first one, which to me is the best one, because if you have not the first one, you can't have any of the rest of them. So the first one, to me, is the best one. and it is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's in contrast to the works of the flesh, which are manifest, and there's first four up there, that are manifest, is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Now, the worst enemy that we have is no doubt self. The old nature, the flesh. And it is contrary to the Spirit working in us, who lives in us, the Holy Spirit that works in us, who is our best friend, by the way. Our flesh, our old nature, is our worst enemy, and the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in us fights for us and in us against the works that are manifest in the flesh in such a way that there's a battle going on inside of us. The flesh, the old nature that still resides there, it is that heart that is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That old nature. Self is still wanting to be satisfied. But the Spirit of God produces in us a fruit that is called love. And that love is for love for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He produces in us a love for His Word. He produces in us a love for His people. I guess I ought to stick with my notes. Let me see, so I don't get too far ahead or behind myself. Oh. One of the things that written down here that ought to remind us about is in today's churches, especially our modern day Baptist churches, probably Methodists, I don't know much about them. The Baptist church has become so liberal, I can't even imagine what the Methodists are doing, but the modern day Baptist social clubs, churches I mean, have become so liberal that I fear they are apt to forget anything about the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And not to refer Him or worship Him or love Him as they do God the Father and God the Son. But God the Holy Spirit is without a doubt our best friend. He lives in us. He works in us. If we're led by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He fights in us against that self that's in us trying to lead us astray. So let us not forget Him. Let us not forget that we owe our spiritual existence to Him. We were born of the Spirit. He birthed us and made us spiritually alive when we were yet dead in our trespasses and sins.
Right.
He is our friend. He is our God. And Jesus said, I'm going to be with the Father. But I'll leave a comforter with you. So when times get hard, and when the troubles and the trials of our faith get hard, you know, it's a wonder that He don't leave us. It's a wonder that He don't just draw Himself out and say, hey, you want it so much. You want to live that way? Go ahead and live that way. I'm sick of you. That's what I do. I can just take so much before I say, forget you. You don't seem to be getting the picture here. Let us not forget the Holy Spirit and how much He loves us, how much He fights on our behalf, and how we owe Him our very birth in the spiritual life. He's the one that made us alive. How can He stand us? He strives against the flesh, the Bible says. The Spirit, here He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. They are fighting. There's a striving going on. The Spirit of God that we grieve on a regular basis because we forget Him and we do not go to Him and we do not pray to Him and we do not lean upon Him. Yet He is striving against the flesh so that we do not do the things that we're not supposed to do. And He is producing, that's what it means when He says the fruit of the Spirit, a fruit is produced. He is producing in us a love for God in such a way that we will not want to do those things of the flesh. And we'll remember not to do those things. And we will not grieve Him. The holy conflict we war against our corrupt nature is all of the Spirit of God. He leads us, first of all, with that very first fruit of love. That first, these first four things that He mentions here in the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. That is a counterfeit love to spiritual love. All four of those. You know what adultery is. And you know what fornication is. And uncleanness is all that mixed together. It's just uncleanness of every kind that you can think of. Filthiness. Usually sexual sins, uncleanness, and that lasciviousness there. That's sort of like the rope that pulls you off into those other three. That's the cord. That lasciviousness is conversation, songs, things that we do that insinuate uncleanness. That's the reason it's very important that we protect our hearing from such things.
Amen.
Because that lasciviousness is the hearing of those things. Whether it be songs on the radio or songs in your head, or conversations of other people, or conversations that you may be having with somebody, and they suggest lewdness. Those things that excite the passions. That is lasciviousness, and that's a work of the flesh. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God is striving against those things in us. And what do? We turn the radio on and listen to "He Stopped Loving Her Today" and trash like that. And all those rock and roll songs that excite the passions in the self, human nature. And do you think we don't grieve the Spirit of God when we do that? When we think of things like that, and then we let our minds dwell on things like that, we are grieving our best friend who is fighting against those things that are in us. And we should not do those. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's just look. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, he just told you why we have those trials and those tribulations, and what else did he call them? The trial of your faith. Manifold temptations. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We ought to count the cost before we dive off into something because it may be more than we can bear. And then preachers that tell folks all they got to do is accept Jesus. And they really, the modern day church today thinks that Jesus Christ died and paid for the sins of every human that's ever walked facing the earth from Adam on. They think that He paid for everybody's sins, and somehow or another, everybody's going to heaven. They don't think anybody's going to hell. And that's a lie from the pits of hell.
Amen.
That's that heart deceiving people to make them think that somehow or another, everybody's going to heaven. When we know the Bible says on that day when they make their excuse and say, but Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we cast out the devil in your name? And didn't we do many mighty works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They're going to hell. Those are religious people. Those are church-going people who were preaching in His name, who were supposedly casting out devils in His name and doing what they thought was many wonderful and mighty works in His name. And He'll tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Everybody's not going to heaven. They're not. But every believer in Christ, everyone who the Bible says is one of His sheep, in John chapter 10, verse 27, I know my sheep, and they follow me. Those people are the ones that the fruit of the Spirit is being produced in. And while this production is beginning, there is what the Bible calls a winnowing going on. You know what a winnowing is? That's sort of like putting the gold in the fire to burn out the impurities of it, which the Bible also talks about. But there's a winnowing. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water in verse 11 unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, that will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's the saved and there's the lost together. And he said, Jesus has got his fan in his hand. And for his people, that winnowing or winnowing of where he's getting rid of the chaff is those manifested works of the flesh in us. That comes from those trials that we just talked about over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 there. And it's important that not only do we understand that, but we actually pray for those things. Because they are for our benefit. They are for our help. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Now, why are we having those manifold temptations? If he was really our friend, why don't he just protect us from all that? Why don't he just put a shield over us and protect us? He did. He does. These are not things that are coming to destroy you. These are things that are coming to help you. The devil, if it wasn't for the Spirit of God, the devil could and would destroy you and kill you, because the Bible said that's what he's coming for, to steal, kill, and to destroy. But he cannot do it to God's people. But he certainly will use him to tear up your backside, that the trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perisheth. And your faith, though it be tried with fire, that's what he's talking about there when he says, though it be tried with fire, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, meaning your faith is tried with fire. Not to see if you got it. He gave it to you. It's one of the fruits. Didn't we read that a while ago? Faith was one of the fruits of the Spirit, just like love is, and the trial of your faith. These manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, you ever seen a mature apple just appear on a tree? Yes. Next thing you know, here come the leaves, and then boom, there's an apple. Already matured, red, and ready to eat. Don't work that way, does it? Until a little bitty flower comes on, or a little bud comes on there. And then a little bitty piece of an apple comes on there. Or really a little tiny apple. And you know what? It does not come from a dead tree. A dead tree does not produce any fruit. And the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Only those people who are spiritually alive can have spiritual love growing in them. Only people who are spiritually alive, and you can't spiritually alive yourself. That must be done by the Spirit of God who births you and makes you alive spiritually. Only those that are spiritually alive can have peace. I believe joy is the second one. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. A dead tree can't have any of those fruits. They bear no fruit. No fruit is produced on the dead tree. You must be spiritually alive. And like I told you last week, these are evidences of your salvation. Every one of these. And every one of these is produced in a believer's life. Every one of them. All you got to do is read them. And then determine, do you have them? Because they are being produced in every believer's life. They are fruits of the Spirit. And this winnowing that takes place, where Jesus has got his fan in his hand, and these manifold temptations that the trial of our faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at His appearing, is to prepare us for the inheritance that we will receive on that great day. It is preparing us. It is strengthening us. It is growing our love for God in these manifold temptations that the Spirit of God allows to come upon us, because it causes us to go to the throne of grace more often. It causes us to quit ye like men, be strong. Let's back up just a little bit to this lasciviousness, this listening to things that we ought not listen to, that could lead us down the wrong road and get us in a whole lot of trouble. I'll give you an example of that in the Scriptures. We better turn over there and read it, just so that we don't make a mistake. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, if she didn't have any better sense than to talk to that slimy serpent before, when he said, yea, ye shall not surely die, when God said, you shall surely die, that should have ended the conversation right there. Because he just contradicted, that old serpent, the devil, just contradicted what God said. And that led to the fall of man. So you tell me lasciviousness is not a dangerous thing. Listening to ungodly music, conversation, and thoughts in your head led to the fall of man, that lasciviousness. It is a very dangerous thing. You keep playing with it if you want to. You keep satisfying the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, if you want to. You'll have to decide if there's fruit being produced in you by the Spirit of the living God. is there a love. This priceless diamond, this priceless thing that we have, this fruit that God gives us through the Spirit of the Living God producing love in us is so priceless that we cannot imagine the worth of such a thing, this love, that grows only on a living tree or on a living, spiritual, living being. Nothing dead. And it's eternal. It always has been, and it always will be. And the more you love God, the more you're going to want to know about God. And the more you know about God, the more you love Him. And it is a growing, growing thing. I believe over there in the Song of Solomon somewhere it says, the banner over me is love. The banner over me is love. Because my God is love. Not only is it eternal, it's ever present. And it's such a valuable thing that it's leading us, this love for God is leading us to the joy and the peace that is the second and third fruits of the Spirit of God. If you don't have that love for God and it's not growing in you, you can't have any joy with your Christianity. But if that love for God grows and love for His people grows and love for His Word grows and love for everything that God's ever created grows, and that joy in you grows, and you can be a very joyful people even during manifold temptations and trials of your faith. You can be joyful. Why? Because we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, to them who are the chosen of God. They're for our benefit and they're for our good. Don't murmur and complain like the Jews did out there in the wilderness when God led them to a place of no water. Thank the Lord for them. And Lord, give me grace to bear it and come on through here. Let me have joy during this manifold temptation time. Joy in the Lord. Because I know He's doing this for my good. Now, a professor of Christianity and not a true Christian cannot have that kind of joy. And he cannot have the peace that goes with loving God. Because loving God and that growing in you every day, bringing you before the throne of grace and bringing you into the Scriptures, this manna that came down from heaven, the Lord Jesus Himself, He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And this Word of God that He left us to feed us with and to grow us with gives us such a peace that it doesn't matter what happened. And look, you can look at the world today and just want to throw your hands up and quit and say, look at it. Look how terrible it is. They got perverted men now going to bathrooms with little girls. And not only do they allow it, they're demanding it. They're demanding that you tolerate and put up with perverts going into the bathroom with your little daughters and granddaughters. How bad will it get? Oh, it's been a lot worse than that before. And I don't know how bad the Lord will let it get. they spit upon the Son of God. God in the flesh, they spit on him. They laughed him to scorn. They hit him in his face with their fist. They beat him unmercifully with a cat of nine tails. They nailed him to a rugged cross. They drove a spear in his side. And God put the rod of justice upon him. The innocent for the guilty. In our room instead. And he bore it gladly. And it pleased the Father to bruise him for our sake. Now that's love. And he bore it gladly. Can we not bear a little bit of physical exercise that the Bible calls manifold temptations, the trial of our faith, that we might bring honor and glory to Him on that great day? That we were more than conquerors, being children of the living God, made spiritually alive, and were glad to go through whatever it seems right and fit to Him to put us through, that we might bring Him honor and glory on that great day. No one ever loved because it was demanded of him. There's a lot of things that you can demand somebody to do, and they might have to do. I remember my daddy telling me, you better go mow them yards. And I'd have to go mow them. And you better do this, and you better do that, and I'd have to do it. But nobody ever loved anybody because he was demanded to. You think about it. That's a gift. That's a fruit of the Spirit of God in every believer. I hope we have that love growing in us, spiritual love from the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. We won't read all of this for time's sake. It's the parable of the sower. And we'll read starting down here at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. This is where the Lord is explaining to His disciples the meaning of the parable. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now you have to pay attention to what he's saying here, or you'll miss some very important truths. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. I told them at the funeral yesterday, I said, you can accept Jesus as many times as you want to from now till he comes, or you die. That will not save you. That's what these people did. You see, they received it. They received it, so you can receive Christ all you want to. That does not save you. Accepting Jesus does not save you. Making a decision of Christ does not save you. Saying a sinner's prayer does not save you. You must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God and implanted in you at that birth is love and joy and peace and faith and meekness and goodness and long-suffering. And against such there is no law. By the way, if you'll go back and count the words in the English that they use for the works of the flesh and the words that they use for the fruits of the Spirit, I believe it's like 17 in the works of the flesh, maybe 18, according to what you count and such like as, and half that many for the fruits of the Spirit. Yet hath he not root in himself. See, that word root there is very important. He hath no root in himself. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but he had quickened you. He's made you spiritually alive. He's given you roots, what he's done. Because you had no root in yourself. And the Spirit of God gave you roots. And those roots are growing. And they're living. And they produce fruit. But this guy had no root in himself. He was yet spiritually dead, even though he received the word gladly. But when persecutions came for the word's sake, he couldn't take it. He was dead. That love was not growing in him. You understand? There was no life there. There was no spiritual life. It seemed to be a good thing to him. It's like Jesus said, Anybody that comes in a different way other than the door is a robber and a thief. You can try to get in that way if you want to. Christian ran into some fellows that tried to get in that way. And the Bible says they're robbers and thieves, and they're not going to make it to the celestial city. They may walk down that road with true believers for a ways. They will not make it to the celestial city. They may come to church with them. They may sing songs with them. They may pray with them. They will not make it to that celestial city. You have to be spiritually alive. And love for God is put inside you. And that love is going to grow. And that's an evidence that you're saved. He also that receives seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world, the works of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Because they love those things more than they love God. That's the reason the Bible says you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. You must mortify the deeds of the flesh because those are the things of the old nature. We have a new nature and a new life and we're a new creation. And that love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and meekness and faith and long-suffering, that means you put up with me and all of my faults, failures, and stumblings. You put up with me. You bear with me. Because I'm your brother. I'm not a stranger. I'm your brother. And as your brother, we'll bear one another's burdens. Because we love one another. Because we're spiritually alive. We'll stop there for today. And Brother Randy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us, and we'll be dismissed.